I was raised by the wolves.
All right, we're cutting that short. All right, folks, we are back with another edition of the Red and White Podcast. I'm your host, Evan, here with Will. Sunday morning, woke up exhausted mentally, still disappointed. I'm not even sure I'm angry. I don't think I was angry last night. I think I'm just at the point of exhaustion. That's the only way I can describe it. I mean, the mental fatigue from what we went through last night is real. I don't know. How are you sipping on your coffee? You look kind of cozy.
Well, as I sit here sipping on my Roastology Galactic Grind, I am taking a space oddity of sorts with this program right now. I am with you on the exhaustion. I am aggravated by the choices we made last night on both sides of the ball, but more than anything, I was sitting on my couch the whole time last night, Evan, saying, run, pass, pass. Oh, corner blitz, pass, corner blitz, pass, corner blitz, pass. Every time it was third down. And to me, it's just really frustrating to see us do the same thing over and over and put ourselves in tougher positions than we need to be. And the staff just clearly thinks the only way you can win is with aggression. And it bit them over and over on defense last night. And, you know, now the game next week, like, we needed the same outcomes no matter what, right? We needed to beat Syracuse and Wake to lose to Clemson. So that didn't change. But now there's an immense amount of pressure on the team to go beat UNC and have Wake lose against BC. And frankly, correct. I mean, I don't know. The team just looks really beat up right now, man. And I'm having a hard time thinking we can do two wins. It was really critical last night. And I just think the staff let us down with some decision making.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things that, and I'm not even sure I'm mad at. It's hard. It's weird. You give up 45 points, and like, I still feel like the defense played well enough. Right. And I get that they, you know, the 11 corner blitzes, we got zero out of it. And I get they gave up third downs. But the defense, I thought, played over like okay overall. I mean, you held them to three and out in the first two or three drives. And your offense does not take advantage of it. And before you know it, you're down 21-6. And I think this game is squarely on the offense, despite giving up 12 of 20 third down conversions, the game is squarely on the offense. I mean, the defense played its ass off considering you're down a freaking ton of guys. Guys were dropping like flies last night. The offense is like, I just don't get it. Like the first drive, I think it was, maybe the second drive, just go straight down the field. You get to the red zone, you know, you're throwing it vertically, you're throwing down the field. You get to the red zone, you throw a swing pass, you run it behind the offensive line that can't block anybody, and then kick a field goal, right? And we've heard the adage, field goals early, lose games late. That's the first thing that's what we did when we kicked that field goal in the first. And it just feels like it's the same thing over and over again, right? It just feels like it's the same pattern. You and I, we laid out this game, but it's another week in a row where two idiots who don't know anything about football said, don't get aggressive with them on third down. That's where Wake preys on people, right? Do everything. Like the game plan is lined up there for it. It's laid out, and you still found a way to squib it away.
Yeah.
Right? Dave Doran's defense of the squib kick before halftime, he said in his presser last night, where we were trying not to give up a big kick return and we were kicking into the wind. So, you know, that's why we decided to squib it. Like, did you learn nothing from Mississippi State?
Well, first off, like, that's just nonsense. Because guess what? We scored the opening kickoff touchdown, right? Coming out of halftime. And Trenton Gill kicked right back into that same wind. And just kicked it right out of the end zone again. Like, we say this, we've been saying this all year, we've been saying it 4 years. State is not good enough to give up plays on the margin. And if you are worried about a return and you don't think your guy can kick it out of the end zone, why not just kick it out of bounds? Just rail it 40 yards into the stands. You give him the ball on the 35-yard line. No one has to run down the field. No risk of injury. You know exactly what the outcome's going to be. And instead, you squib kick it, which, I'm sorry, I see squib kicks like all the time, and they do not end up at the 25 very often. You get weird shit because the ball's bouncing all out of the place. The way you set up your formation for the play can go wrong. And you've got everyone running from a different point of attack than they're used to. I just don't understand how in this day and age, like, coaches are just not, like, slightly analytical in their approach here and just say, hey, you know what? I'd rather the ball be on the 35 than on our 45. So I'm going to just kick it straight out of bounds. I mean, it's just stuff like that where you'd think modern day coaches would adapt. And, you know, this staff just reeks of old school mentality at the worst time, you know. And I want to get back to that offensive play calling on that first or second drive again, right? You go vertical, you get down there, you put your guys in one-on-one situations, and they tend to make more plays than they do. Great. Why did we start throwing to the flats? Why are we putting our guys in bad spots? I think Lassain was in on that drive, and they threw it to him in the flat, and, like, I just don't get it. Like, Keon Lassain's doing a great job on punt coverage and special teams, and they probably want to reward that a little bit. But why is this guy in there on critical third downs the entire game? Why are you putting the ball in his hands when he has not done anything with it this year? Like, okay, you think he's a plus matchup athletically? Like, I had no problem when they gave him, like, that kind of, like, faux jet sweep handoff. That makes sense. Get him running. But we have had no success, really, with him on these kind of screen formations or letting him run, like, Thayer Thomas-style routes, and I just don't get it. When the game was on the line and you put your studs back in the game, Emeka Emezi just went off on everybody. Carter started making plays. And I just think this staff has very questionable personnel grouping decisions. I don't mind it on first or second down, but why are the key guys not in there on third and fourth? Why are we not? Why are we not making it easy?
I agree with that. You know, the squib kick was a classic overthinking, right? It's just completely unnecessary. The wide receiver rotations, you know, I don't understand. I assume that's on Joker, the wide receivers coach, and he's matching up with what Tim Beck is calling. But
yeah,
not having Emeka out there as much as possible, he was absolutely dominant in that game. And, you know, with how they use him, right? They throw him jump balls. He's great. He's really good at that. Throwing Emeka a swing pass and hoping the Wake Forest defense misses a tackle, like, that's just not what he's good at. Why are you doing that?
I'll tell you why.
Throw that to Lassain. Throw that to somebody, you know, Anthony Smith. Throw that to somebody else who's
passed. I'll tell you why. It's because they had backup corners in, and they said, our guys are just better. And every time they did it, you know, Mezzi catches it, turns, jukes one way, maybe gets it 1 or 2 yards. It's not what he's built for. It's just bad decision-making. Thayer is the guy you want in that position. I just don't get it. Put Jordan Houston out there. You know, we saw him kind of show up a couple times in this game, and I was like, boy, you can see his short area quickness is awesome. So,
yeah, that's exactly the play you put in for Jordan Houston, right? Those are exactly those plays.
My guess.
Not a Mecca.
Guess is it's kind of like we're saying with the squib kick. It's classic overthinking. I bet these guys, when they play chess or when they play cards, I bet they're, like, constantly making these elaborate plays because they think they're smarter than everyone. Instead of just being like, oh, you know what? He put his pawn there, so why don't I'll move my knight here. I'm going to set this up for later. I just don't I don't understand how, in the most critical game of the year, you constantly put yourself in, I would call it, like, negative marginal situations. Like, you're not optimizing your play calls.
Right.
And I agree with you, man. Like, what did we say before the podcast? The key of the game was on their first drive, holding them to 3 points or less. Okay, so we do that in two straight drives, and we completely squander the opportunities that they gave us. It sucks because I think on that third down play call on the first drive down there in the red zone, or whenever we were down there, you know, once again, offensive line just can't block in a key situation. And
yeah.
And I think we had someone open on the wheel route, if I remember correctly. And, you know, Leary tries to throw it and just, you know, he can't get it done. But I don't know, man. At some point, we got to just talk openly about John Garrison and this offensive line. Because, like, I couldn't believe I saw Dylan McMahon get pancaked by a linebacker. Like,
yep.
I don't know if it was just the perfect calamity of, like, he's stepping backwards right as he gets hit. But, man, he was getting his ass driven back in the backfield all game. All the guys were. And I'm sure in some parts it's because, like, these guys are young and maybe Wake had an older player or two on the line, and it just was that terrible, like, 24-year-old versus 20-year-old matchup. But, damn, this line is so frustrating to watch. And it's been really disappointing for 3 years now. And I get that you weren't inheriting an incredible group, but at the same time, man, it's just, how can you be, like, on the freak list and be getting pushed around like that? Like, I don't understand. Maybe Thunder shouldn't have been promoting Dylan McMahon like he was. Or maybe McMahon's just out of position. And maybe it's just as simple as that. Maybe he is a center or a right guard at best, and being at left guard is just too much on him. I don't know. But I, you know, I told you, you guys were all like, oh, we're going to run all over this Wake team. And I said, I don't believe it. And they went out and did exactly what they've done all year. This team is living off the hype of, like, 4 years ago of what their offensive line was. And they play call like they're still that offensive line. And it's just getting you the same result over and over. Looked good when they were doing tosses and getting to the perimeter. What?
Yeah, the two that they did.
You know, it's, again, like, just not making the right play calls. Sorry, I'll take a step back. This coffee is like, get me hyped.
You're fine. I'm sitting here looking through the box score trying to see where the penalties were because I thought McMahon was terrible.
He had, like, multiple false starts. He was downfield on a critical play. They didn't show the replay, so I wanted to go see if it was, like, you know, ooh, is that a questionable downfield call? But, you know, it's just, guys, for years, Doran's team has been like, we're the disciplined team. And for the last 2 years, they have been incredibly undisciplined in games.
Especially in these kind of games.
In any game where it was equivalent or better talent. And I get that they're trying to play with energy. I know I get it on defense, man. I have no problem with defensive penalties. Like, I get a late hit on Hartman a couple times. Like, I think, I don't know what podcast I was listening to. I think someone was saying, like, someone was making a joke about FSU and how many dumb penalties they get. This guy was like, hey, man, in a key game, rivalry game, it's worth getting a couple late hits on the quarterback and sending a message. Like, yeah, it sucks.
Yeah.
But you're going to get in his head. And there were a couple times where, you know, where the blitz almost got home on a couple of on Hartman. And I think Tyler Baker Williams or whoever it was, like, went for a strip sack. I was just like, and he missed. And I was like, just smash him. Just smash him a couple times. I don't care. I will get the 15-yard penalty one or two times because that guy was clearly a little hobbled. And all it would have taken was just one well-placed shot to the ribs while he's throwing. And maybe you knock him out, and I'd be okay with that, you know.
You brought up John Garrison, and that's one of the things that just completely stands out to me, and it did over and over again. You know, we're in year three. We're giving him a pass. I think it's three, might be four. I think it's three. We're giving him a pass, you know, previously because of Ledford's recruiting, but at some point you have to see some progress with your talent, your younger guys. And the offensive line is, you know, there's such a big disconnect there with your mantra of being a run first, you know, we pride ourselves on the run team, and then just completely not being able to do it. Wake Forest has been giving up 240 yards rushing in the last five games against Duke, Cuse, UNC, and Army. And State runs for 74 yards. It just, that doesn't line up for me, man. That doesn't square up. And you have to start looking at these coaches that are supposed to be doing that. Like, I get it. There were some drops. There were some, you know, bad plays or some whatever. But at some point, the fundamentals have to be there, and they're just not. Watching this team try to run the ball is an embarrassment when you have, you know, a first-round NFL draft pick on your line. You have one of the top-rated centers, according to Pro Football Focus, all year, and you still can't get any movement on the ball. You still can't get any movement running the ball. They eventually started doing tosses and, you know, a few reverse fake jets, whatever they were doing, just to provide a different look. But they just, I don't know, man. It's just, it's one of those things where there's a complete disconnect with what you're trying to do and what you're actually doing. And you can only put so much of that on the players, I think. Like, coaches have to be coaching up your players. Wake Forest recruits 30 spots worse than NC State. They get a lot more out of them. Those, they destroyed, they just owned us up front. And that just, it doesn't make any sense to me. The last place in the ACC rushing defense team completely dominates you. That doesn't make any sense to me, man. That doesn't square.
I mean, it's missing on recruiting. It's not putting yourself. I mean, like, look, I don't know. Did we even run that like 13 package like we did the last few weeks that was pretty successful on running? I don't really recall it last night. You know, we just do stuff that's not helping our guys. Like, we do a lot of, we when we don't have that heavy personnel, we still like do these condensed sets that, you know, I don't know if that's helping our guys. Right. Yeah. It's just, there's things you could do, I think, to put us in a better position. I still, like, I'm just really curious. I don't know what's going on, but, like, I think Tyrone Riley's been, like, a healthy scratch all year. Maybe he's not healthy. But I kept sitting there thinking last night, like, what would happen if you brought in Tyrone Riley and put him as a sixth lineman to the right of McKay and Spees? Like, maybe that'll help.
Yeah.
But we're not seeing that kind of stuff. You know, get weird. Do wide stances. You know, like, I didn't really, I need to go, boy, no. You know what? I'm not going to subject myself to watching that game again. But
no.
I didn't see us do anything like UNC was doing, where they were pulling the center in the left tackle or right tackle constantly and getting all those cutback and big lanes to run through. Like, the refusal to make some unique tweaks to help the line out was odd to me. And, like, the thing is just, like, if you're not going to do those things, you know, adapt your strategy, because I think we ran the ball intentionally with Leary like one time last night. Only got like a yard or two, but I was like, I bet if you keep doing that, it's going to pop free. I bet if you clear out like they do for Howell and let him just sit back there, and if he misses, if the first read's not open, just run through the space, I bet it's going to be open. And it was at one point, and I was sitting there just going, this is what I'm talking about. You can manufacture more running game if you would just run your guy. And it's not like you're putting him in dangerous situations. He's like going one-on-one with a linebacker. Like, he's 215, 220 pounds. He can take a couple hits. You know, just, it's just stuff like that where you just say, okay, well, you guys clearly aren't trying to do everything you can to find an edge. You are happy to settle. You are happy to use personnel groupings that are not your best players. Like, just going to say it, man. Like, why am I seeing so much CJ Riley? Oh, well, he's run. We saw him on the GPS. He was topping out over 20 miles per hour. Who cares? He's not 20 miles per hour when he's running a 5-yard route. He's alligator. His alligator arms on that one play were massive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone was not keyed in. It's like they don't understand, like, every play matters. Your job is to win every single play you can. Why is Anthony Smith not a, like, Anthony Smith is faster and is just as reliable of a catcher going down the field as CJ Riley. Why are we not seeing him? Riley's good in the red zone. I have no problem 30 yards and in. Not an issue. But shit like that, where you just sit there and you go, why are we seeing Keon Lassane instead of Anthony Smith? Are you telling me Anthony Smith can't blow by their fourth or fifth string DB? I just don't think this team understands like how to win. Like in critical games like this. You know? Yeah. They are not taking the right shots. And I'm exhausted by it because I don't know how you get paid $800,000, millions of dollars, to then be like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to drop a random ass screen pass to my third string slot guy that's going to be heavily reliant on blocking. And I'll put CJ Riley out there with him. I mean, I don't fucking get it.
It's one of those things to me that, you know, people are like, well, we only rushed it 12 times. Well, yeah, because you were down 21-6. Like, you didn't take advantage of it. You, again, could have jumped on them, could have put Wake Forest behind the chains where you knew they weren't going to be able to, you know, run that mesh, where you be able to get some pressure on them and, you know, force them to make mistakes. I mean, freaking Hartman threw three interceptions. We got 0 points off of it. Your offense being that inefficient is unacceptable to me. I don't get it, man. Dave lets his guys, his coaches coach. Right? He lets them do what they want to do. I think that's pretty evident. We've seen that. And I think that is going to be his downfall.
Yeah.
Like, at some point, you have to start changing your philosophy. You have to think different. You want to run the ball? You can run the ball. You can run the ball like Coastal. You can run the ball and do, you know, different scheme. You, like Wake. I mean, Wake's doing the same thing. They're being different. They're doing these things that are going to – they're stressing teams out. And that's how they're winning. And they – Wake, for the most part, did the little things that you need to do, right? And like I think you said it right. This team doesn't know how to win. Like, the coaches don't know how to win.
They're just
– And it all gets put on Dave, and I like Dave a lot. I think Dave's done a really good job in most areas. But I think at some point, like, this is just insanity where we just keep asking for something different, getting the same thing, and getting the same results. I'm willing to ask for more at some point.
Yeah.
And
sorry. Well, what I was going to say is, you said, I'm willing to ask for more. And I think that's what we've been saying for the last couple of years is, we want more for this program. We want the expectations to be higher for this program. And after losses like this, they always come out of the woodworks. These fans are like, oh, I'm happy to be 500 or 7-5, 8-4. You know, because you don't know how bad it could be. If we got, you know, Dave could be really good. Yeah. You don't know how bad it could be. Okay. Well, what's the worst that could happen? Instead of winning 8 or 9 games, you win 4, 5, 6, and you fire a guy because you want to have better. You want to have better than 8. You know, it's every time these people, they always come out, they always say this. Dave might be as good as we can get. And you know what? If we get rid of him, we could have a losing program. And then they never say, or like all the other universities that have success, we may get lucky and find the right coach for the right time that can elevate this program. And we can take our chances. That's asking too much. Oh, you can't expect to beat Clemson. I'm not saying beat Clemson, but guess what? We fucking beat Clemson this year. We've been close to beating Clemson multiple years. Like, Clemson's not this infallible machine. Can't beat them. Can't beat them. Oh, you can't expect us to win a championship. Why? Why can't you expect that? Wake's about to have the opportunity to win a division title. Why should Wake have that opportunity? Oh, well, they've got a lot of seniors. Oh, well, we could hit the portal too. But we decided to cap it out and trust our, you know, I'm sorry. Like, sometimes you got to clean house and say, hey, really appreciate the effort. Hard, tough together. You've been a great teammate, but it's time for you to go somewhere else, so-and-so, because I need to go bring in someone that might have a chance to take us over the top.
You have no excuse with the portal to not have a competent offensive line. I mean, I don't know how you grade offensive lines versus other teams, but I'm pretty sure this is bottom 20 in the Power Five, like easily.
And run blocking for sure.
And yeah, run blocking for sure. And it's just, that's unacceptable, man. You have to see this in practice and know, hey, we need to get guys in the portal. We need to get offensive linemen. You know, it just,
I think it feels like they really thought Tyrone's going to be healthy. I don't need to go get another tackle. I think they thought McMahon's doing really good with his power cleans. We don't need to go get another guard. Maybe they thought Sculthorpe and Witt would come back. And maybe they just miscalculated there and just didn't think they could find someone in time. Fine. It is what it is. But I want to go back for a second. Why would you, as a fan, want to settle for slightly above average and be happy with that? That's just a weird thing to me. Why are you invested at all emotionally, financially, logistically in a sport, in a team, and happy to never truly be able to get over the hump and threaten to win a title? Why is the chance that you might hire someone and they lose after like 30 years of that happening here? Why is that a scary proposition? Aren't you NC State fans supposed to like never give up on a dream and always supposed to fight through it? Well, maybe it's time to never give up on being better as a program and say, Dave, love what you've done here. You've really reestablished the floor. We're super excited for what you've done. But at this point in time, like, we want something more. And we're willing to risk losing in order to get it. And we're sure you're going to land on your feet somewhere. You're going to be a great hire. You're going to be a millionaire for the rest of your life. You've got some great properties here in North Carolina you can always come back to. You know, but it's just time.
It's not even personal. Yeah, it's not even personal. People take it personally. And it doesn't have to be, right? We want to have a better program. We all want to see us elevate in these situations. And I think making the same mistakes over and over again, I think to me is a concern. And, you know, the one thing I keep saying, like in the chat, I say it a lot, you know, Dave Purgatory, you know, I don't think our administration is proactive enough to want to make a change. I think you'll see some coaches turnover. I think Gibson will probably get a big time offer. You know, the defense is too good for him not to. You know, I think Dave will probably or should probably move some of the offensive coaches, Garrison, Beck. I mean, he needs to make a change there. I think that is where we are, and that's my concern. Like, unless you lose out and he's gone, you know, then, you know, you win one, you lose one, 8-4, right back in purgatory. Same thing. It's going to be the same thing next year. We don't know who's coming back, who's not. And to me, that's when apathy sets in, right? That's when people stop caring. That's when fans stop going to the games. You give them every reason to not go to the games, and they won't, right? I don't know, man. It's one of those things where my head's at. I know Dave is looking around. Like, I know he's smart enough, but at some point, who's going to take him? Like, his agent is going to be a hell of a salesman.
I think there's a lot of programs out there that want what he has given State: stability, repeatability, not going to lose to inferior opponents, at least look occasionally competitive against better opponents, whatever. There's a bunch of teams out there that would probably be happy with that. I mean, the reality is Gibson should be promoted. Gibson should have an opportunity at a bigger school for what he's done.
He will.
He will get that, and he will be the exact same coach he is, and he's going to probably have a couple good squads, and then his aggression is going to kill him. And then he'll be looking for a job again. But he'll at least have that opportunity. And I know he wants to be a head coach, too. I mean, so maybe that's what he'll parlay it into, actually, and maybe he'll get an opportunity. I think you have got to get a new offensive line coach and just say, I'm sorry, it's not working out. We need a change of blood here. Or you need to commit. You need to bring in like five guys from the portal this year. If you don't do that, I don't see what's going to change with John Garrison at this point. I'm okay with Beck. Because I think part of the problem is because of what Garrison's unit's doing, Beck is like trying to out-scheme himself constantly and trying to fix it. So he's not getting to play with a full deck of cards per se. So maybe that's why he makes all these weird-ass personnel decisions. Fine. But at the same time,
I don't know.
Like, I'd be open for anything right now that says you are trying to be better.
Yeah.
Even if Boo came and said, all right, I want to bring in Munkin. If you've got a vision to say, here's why I think Munkin can be good. One, he's not going to just do the triple option. He's going to do something kind of like Coastal does, where he takes elements of it and he's going to expand it. And he's never had the right players to do so, yada, 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 right? He's going to finally have that. Great. What are you going to pair him with? Oh, this rock star staff. Cool. Great.
Yeah.
But just,
I agree.
Why are we doing this? Like, if Boo thinks, you know, we know Boo's a football guy, and you got the ACC commissioner saying, the most important thing in the world right now is for us to improve our football product. Why wouldn't Boo look elsewhere? I mean, like you said it just a minute ago, actually, and I think we've kind of hinted at it before, right? Next year could be a reset year, but we have no idea what next year is really going to be. But how is, unless everything breaks our way and we back our way into a division title, how is the fan base not going to be, I don't even know what the word to say, apoplectic, apathetic?
Yeah.
Emotionally disinvested in the program? Like, here's why I think it would be wonderful if Dave left. He got that Clemson win. He can say he did it. He can use that as a calling card to get promotion. He's accomplished some big things. He's reset this program. Like, I just don't see the risk, really, in Dave moving on. And I think Dave would be a great hire at multiple Big Ten locations. I think he'd be a great hire at Pac-12 locations. I think he'd crush it at the University of Florida, but they would never do it. Right? Like, there's some places where I think he would actually be fan-freaking-tastic. And he would fit in with, like, the mold of the conference very well. You know? But here we are. We're going to be told that, like, our expectations are unreasonable. Oh, there's been a lot of injuries. And it's not the coach's fault. It's the player's fault. We coach them up in practice, and then in games, they don't do what we told them to do in practice. Well, like, maybe you're not coaching them up very well. That's not a good – it doesn't sound as good as you think it does, Dave, Tony, Tim, whoever would say that.
Right. All right, I think we'll leave it on that. I got to run. I got things to do today with my kid. We'll be back later in the week, maybe even tonight. I know Zach has some things he wants to say. And yeah.
Hey.
I don't know, man. I'm just exhausted. I know everybody else is. I feel your pain. I don't think it's a problem asking for more. And that's where we're going to leave it, because I think don't let somebody tell you that, you know, things are fine.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, what are we doing here? And I got no interest in that. Like, why do I invest my time, energy, and money into this if we're okay with being average? You know, I'm not there. So All right, y'all, as always, thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting the pod. Appreciate everybody jumping on. There was a bunch of people in the chat and had some things to say. We'll do this later on. We'll do this later on in the week and maybe get some better, have some more time to get some fans.
Enjoy it.
Y'all have a good weekend.
I was going to say, there's still a good day to enjoy, everyone. Have fun with your family. Just relax. Let's move on.
Yep. All right.
Go Pack.
Go Pack. Kinda.